Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, this is Jason Ophir as always, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. Hope everybody's having a good holiday. Sherry is with me as always. How's it going, Sherry?
Pretty good. How are you, Jason?
Not too bad. It looks like we're getting snowed on here in Portland, which is kind of fun. As long as it doesn't stick, I don't want to have issues driving to work. How are things out towards the coast there?
Well, we've got some snow. We're in the higher elevations, and it's sticking. So, but we're going to be coming down with snow chains instead of snow tires or whatever you need, and we're going to be making a trip. So, yeah, I'm excited, and, yeah, it's great. So, yes, and we're going to go, and tonight I want to go and we've got a return guest. We hasn't been out for a while, been back on our show, Paul Coffey. And first of all, we want to go, and Jason, would you go and repeat our number? Paul's indicating that it's the wrong number. He can't call in. Would you repeat the number that he needs to call in?
Sure. He can call in at 215-383-3999. That's 215-383-3999. And that's the guest call-in number. And if anybody else out there wants to join the conversation, maybe has a question for Paul, they can call that number as well, 215-383-3999. And while we're waiting for him, I just before the show started, I was on YouTube and I was watching something that was pretty interesting. It was footage from an F-18 Hornet from the U.S. Air Force in California, and they were following a UFO off the coast of California, and it was pretty interesting video to watch. And they were talking, he was talking with, I don't know, his wingman or whatever you want to call it, about seeing a fleet of them. And it actually kind of brings up a story of something that was going on where the government apparently invested $22 million to study UFOs recently. So that video of the F-18 following the UFO was back in 2004. So there's definitely stuff going on in the skies. And I just thought it was interesting that pretty much the government has admitted that they are spending all this money in researching UFOs. We hadn't heard anything about that since Project Blue Book back in the days. I don't know, the 50s or 60s or something. So I just thought it was interesting.
Wow. That's interesting, pretty much, yes. So anyway, yeah, was that the picture? You know, there's a picture circulating on the web. It looked like some kind of missile or something. Is that the one you're talking about?
No, that's the SpaceX rocket that people were freaking out about. I did see some videos of that, too. In fact, one of the videos was somebody had a dash cam and they were driving on the freeway talking about it, and somebody behind them wasn't paying attention. And because everybody was gawking at it on the freeway, people were slowing down. Well, this one person didn't slow down and just reamed the car in front of it. I mean, just completely smashed it in. So, yeah, that was the SpaceX rocket. And there's a lot of videos online about people's reaction to it, which are funny. But, yeah, accidents as well. Very interesting.
Wow. That is very interesting. I've just seen it off and on. But, yeah, it's I can't believe it's Christmas Eve, and, you know, we're just, it's hunkering down. It's getting close to the new year. I can't believe it's another year almost past, Jason. This year has gone by really, really fast.
Absolutely. Well, I'm looking forward to a fun 2018. And it looks like I see Paul's called in, so we'll get him on right now.
Yes.
How's it going, Paul?
Hey,
you there?
Paul.
Hello, Sherry and Jason. How are you?
Good. You sound like you're just getting over a cold.
Yeah, I've had the flu, not a flu, but a virus for about 10 days.
Gee.
And I've never had one for a long time. But this one here set me back, and actually I went to the emergency room last night. I also went maybe a week ago as well, and they gave me liquids and, you know, checked, did blood work and all that. But they didn't find anything, so they just said, go home and, you know, wait it out. But today I feel much better. I didn't have a fever. So I'm here, ready to talk.
Awesome. I guess it is flu season. I work in the medical community, and I'm going to have to get, because I'm switching over to working in the hospitals, and I've always avoided getting a flu vaccine, but I'm pretty much going to be required to get it. And the reason I haven't got a flu vaccine is I've never caught the flu, but I guess it's something I'm just going to have to be brave and do and go and get that vaccine.
Are they mandatory? Are they requiring you to get a flu vaccine, Jason? Let me ask you.
Well, they can't force you to get the flu vaccine, but they basically say you have to sign a form saying you're refusing it. And then whenever you're around patients, you have to wear a special mask. And, you know, nobody wants to be that guy, that, you know, that one-off guy walking around the hospital with a mask.
Oh my gosh.
I mean,
wow.
I'll get it. I had to prove
well,
all
you
my.
Well, you don't want to hear my truth.
Probably
no,
not.
Jason.
Well, I had to get all these other vaccines. I had to get hep. I had to get chicken pox. I had to get all this other thing. So I'll get the flu one. Anyways, well, I hope you feel better and you recover from that, Paul. But to get this thing kicked off here, why don't you give a little bio about yourself, because it's been a while since you've been on the show.
Right. Well, I've been involved in the paranormal. My first paranormal adventure or experience started back in the early 1980s when I was in the service, and I experienced ghosts, and I saw my first full-bodied apparition in Germany. And I was totally blown away, and, you know, more or less, I never forgot it. And it was a dead soldier that got killed on an aircraft that stood next to me in formation. And it actually attached to me. And every time I flew, I had panic attacks all of a sudden. And that's a lengthy story. But I carried that spirit all the way through till I moved to Texas in about 2011 or 2012. I went to some healers and they cleared it. And I haven't had any problems since, but I became a disabled vet because of that. And but I started ghost hunting around 2011. And I've been on countless ghost hunts, you know, houses, industrial buildings, hospitals, old hospitals, and you name it, homes, everything. And I'm a spirit sensitive. Spirits come to me no matter what. When I walk into a location, I'm going to get ghosts no matter what. And also, my last investigation was Waverly Hills Sanatorium back in August. And I captured quite a few. And everybody can see them on my Facebook page, Central Texas Paranormal. And, you know, I'm a medium. I talk to them. I'm a natural medium. And there's good and bad with that. And I have to protect myself. And, you know, there's a lot more I can't say because people will not believe me what I've experienced. And I have had contact with demons. And I know what they are, and I had one that attached itself to me in last December at a ghost hunt. Somebody brought it. They delivered it. They came there just for one specific reason, to dump, and they dumped it on me. And I lived with it for almost a year, well, not quite, say, maybe 8 months. And what happened was, I went to a healer and she in July, and she killed it in half strength. And then I hired another woman who brought down a positive energy entity that actually killed it all the way and removed it. So, but those.
So, did you protect yourself before that? Before you were so called dumped on?
No, I didn't. But the only way you can protect yourself is to wear Palo Santo oil, head to toe. Yeah, I found that out when the demon was on me, that I wore Palo Santo oil, and it would try not to let me sleep. And therefore, when I put that Palo Santo oil on, it's a holy oil. And it worked. So it's a good thing for everybody to know. If you want protection, the best stuff is for ghosts and demons is Palo Santo oil. It's available on Amazon. It costs $20 an ounce bottle.
Uh-huh.
And you can readily find that on Amazon. And it's the best way. Some of it's very powerful. When you put it on, you just feel it exploding into your aura. And it's very powerful, but you got to rub it on your head, your throat, you know, all your chakras, all the way, you know, your arms, your wherever a demon hurts you, your legs, your feet, your stomach, you know, all of that. Put it around your belly button. And I learned a lot about demon because the positive energy entity not only killed it, but also disassembled it right in front of me. And I had numerous bands they're demon bands, like belts. I had six of them on my chest. And there was a crown, or five of them, and then there was a crown belt that went down into my root chakra area in my aura. And when you're sleeping, it's likely that the demon will let you sleep, but they get to work and they wire your body. They wire, you know, your tongue, your nose, your ears, and they make a network of wiring all up and down your body from my dominant side is the left foot, the left corner. The heel is where a lot of those wires went. And every one of those wires were removed from me, and they cleaned me numerous times, and that was it.
Can I ask you, Paul, was it attachment, or were you feel like you were being possessed?
Well, when they're on you, there's only one that moves around you, and it is somehow possible to kill it. But they're very strong. What happens is on those bands that are on your chest are six or seven baby demons that are forming. And they have belts that feed them. And the main betrayal or the main demon is actually on your back. And it stays on your back. He's the one that talks and orders all the other ones to act. What happened with the exorcism, spiritual exorcism I had, it actually killed the main demon on my back. And the rest were left to fend for themselves. But they knew what to do. They have limited knowledge, but it's built into them, and they know what to do. But
I've seen people when they come in to see me, or just, you know, if I open that door at that particular time, I've seen where demons are latched to them, but they're also, I mean, when you say people behind them, and I don't know if you and I are on the same page, but I literally see henchmen. I call them henchmen. They're like if you take the main entity, the main demon up, you got what do you call grunts behind them? Is that what you would say? That they're little henchmen.
Yes. They're there in case, one dies. But all those energy entities that are on the band store energy. And there's like seven on each band, and they store energy, which is fed to the main one that goes around. And so at any rate, I saw a lot of that. And when you kill them, you actually can see their files. And I saw their files, and it shows all the people they were on throughout time, and it's like hundreds and hundreds of years old. And you can see people with top hats in England and all kinds of crap. And, it shows you places, and it shows you women. It shows you sexual acts and all kinds of stuff. I saw this in my mind's eye, and I got a pretty big mind's eye. I mean, it's the front of my, it's in my forehead, and I can see, from left to right of my head all the way across, and I see energies with my head. And I saw this with my own eyes. I saw the demon being killed, and I saw the bands being removed, and I saw the process that it takes, and I believed every bit of what I saw. So,
for our listeners, now that they hear your story, what do you suggest for people that may have had attachments or possibly, may have come to confrontation of a negative entity? What do you suggest to our listeners if that has happened to them?
Well, there's a number of things they can do immediately. They could put Palo Santo on them, and they should put that on heavy. Top of the head, do this three times a day because it wears off. And they can take showers and all that, but they'll see immediate relief. But it has to go on. And top of the head, back of the neck, shoulders, back, and your throat, your chest, all the way down, everything. And, you'll get a lot of usage out of that 1 ounce. But keep them coming. And that alone will give comfort if they have a true demon on them, because they are very powerful, and they only do one thing. They're out there to hurt. And, they're no good. And
can they hurt the people around you?
No. They stay in that one person's aura, and they're the target. And they can go over to people and play with them, like run over and, if people are able to feel the energy, they'll go over to them. And I have a friend that's an exorcism priest. He's pretty good. And he came to my house, and the demon, and I saw him with my eyes, that he went over to the, a couple times just to show himself. He was nervous, and, of course, this priest sees them. He's a sensitive and a medium as well. So I work with this guy, and he's a full Catholic priest. I can't explain, but he's in the order, Sacred Order of Jerusalem, and he's a true Catholic priest, and he's out of Fort Worth, Texas. And he works on cases from the East Coast to the West Coast. And basically, that's about it. But I look at his evidence, and I help him out, once in a while. But he's a good friend of mine. And he'll be coming here probably in the next 2 weeks to visit. So.
Yep.
Paul, I got...
Wow. Go ahead, Jason.
I got to ask. This Palo Santo oil, is that, what type of oil is that? Is that just, is it blessed, or I have no idea what that is.
Okay, you can Google it, but also it's called sacred oil. the good, everybody can bless it. Like, you know, all they have to do is, you know, put the bottle in their hand and say, "Dear God, oh Heavenly Father, please bless this bottle of Palo Santo oil." And you put your finger at the very top and you go straight down in the name of the Father, the Son, and you go left to right, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's what he told me to do, and I do it. And so at any rate, it works. And, you know, the demons will turn everything upside down for you. And they're dangerous. You don't want one. And I've talked about this before. It was hellish for me, only that I had one. And, you know, I got rid of it. But I have the money to do it. And I have friends now that can do it. So they're available to me, and that's good. I will be writing a book.
Can I ask you, because a person who has crossed over many spirits on the other side, have you felt that your, whether it's your energy level or it could be your mental acuity or your physical health, do you think it's taken a toll over these years that you've crossed over so many spirits?
Well, absolutely. I protect myself using God's light and lead shield, but Palo Santo oil will keep them off. So yes, when I cross spirits, and I have a place where I do it, it's at the shrine down here in San Antonio. And it's a shrine for the Mary Immaculate. And I go down there. I used to go down there once a week. And there'd be so many spirits that would go into the light, they would bounce off of me. But every time they bounced off of me, they took a piece of my energy. And so I would feel a little weak. Every ghost hunt I went on, same sort of thing. So, you know, it's good, you know, to protect yourself. And all you do with that is you go up to God and you ask for his brilliant white light protection and place it around from your toes to the top of your head. And it's a good idea to ground yourself, you know, as I've mentioned to you, send roots into the ground first and then go up to God and get the light. You know, I feel it when it comes down. And when I do clear, I do have God's light in my hands. It's truly amazing. It's very forceful. And that's about it there. So
how many spirits would you say you've crossed over into the light? And then I kind of wanted to touch on that in a little more in depth with, but I'll just have, you can answer that one first and then I'll have a follow-up question for you.
Yeah. I'd say probably millions. Because I've done this I learned how to do it in 2012. So I've been doing it, so it's 5 years. And I've done quite a bit, you know, and, you know, I also thought I was clearing demons and other things. But I have to back off of that. But what I was clearing is followers of demons. And there is such a thing. They're little different. They're intimidating. They can lay on people. They can be vocal, but they're not as vocal as the one that circles on you. So I don't know how they come about, but there is such a thing. But, you know, up and coming, you know, I'm getting older and I've had my experiences. I'm one of the top ghost hunters in the country. Only because I am a sensitive and I've been doing this work, and I feel that I need to step back and I can write my books. The first one will be Demon, and I'll write everything in that book, everything I've learned, and it'll be interesting. It'll be worthwhile to anybody that wants to read about it, and doctors, even psychiatrists, you know, holy people, you name it. They'll get something out of it because you know, half the stuff they won't believe me, because I'm going to be talking about God and everything else that I've actually seen in visions that I've had, which I know are not projections. However, demons can project, and spirits can too, as far as I know. But, you know, I'm going to do some research. I'm going to ask around. I'm going to be speaking to my priest friend. And before I put that in my book, I'm going to make sure, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to put it in. But it's an amazing world. I love what I did, but I'm getting older now, and, you know, I see other things I could be doing rather than ghost hunting. And I've seen a lot. You know, I went to Waverly Hills, and gee whiz, you know, I saw thousands of spirits. And it was truly amazing. I sat down, myself and my friend, on the fifth floor. There are a couple of windows that are wide open, cement block. So we just sat down, you know, in the window case. And I could actually see those ghosts coming towards me. And there were thousands at least. And I just told my friend, he's a sensitive, and he's like, oh yeah. You know, but you know, I've pretty much fulfilled what I need to do, and I'd rather talk about it. Show them. I have a portfolio of pictures, some of the top ever seen, ever gotten that are clear, and you know, some of my stuff has been on TV, and I have a Hollywood director that I work with, and you know, I have to wait my time. I have to wait my time on that. But he's in California, and I'll wait my time on that.
Well, I can honestly say to our audiences, not only on our internet audience, but our FM station listeners, I can honestly say from personal experiences that I've worked with Paul long distance, and he's, you know, I've had questions regarding my home, and My home was built in 1895, and I want to personally say that after Paul has reviewed a couple of my photos and actually did his stuff as a paranormal investigator and researcher, that it was amazing at the coverage that he had showed with the ghosts. It was him that actually got me into, wow, look at these pictures. What you see is not entirely what you get. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I didn't turn it on. I didn't want to turn it on knowing I have, you know, other people or had other inhabitants in my house. Now it's free and clear. I can clear myself, and I have friends on this side to help me, too, if I ever need some heavy-duty treatment. But it's amazing where you can see these things, and it's like, wow, you know, I didn't really exactly. We're really not alone, you know. You know, having seen pictures of your own home and you know, maybe a big thing is I was afraid to open that door because I knew that I wasn't alone. But it's interesting with the different pictures of the different orbs and ghosts and spirits that are coming through. So I want to say that Paul's the real deal, folks. It's really good.
Yeah, if you want to see spirits in your house, if you think you have spirits in your house and they're near you or you feel that they're around, sit down in your living room and turn your lights down and use your video in your cell phone and run videos and watch it, because you'll see orbs flying around. That's the easiest way for a homeowner to see spirits. You know, a lot of people don't believe that there are spirit orbs. Well, they're completely wrong, because that's what they are. When people die, they're, you know, what happens is the physical body dies, and immediately the aura that we have around us separates, because the body can no longer supply it any energy. And it's a positive energy that's on us, this aura. But as soon as the body, physical body dies, it motions off, and the soul is in there, in that aura, that ball. And supposedly there's 4 days the spirit has to go into God's light. And it can choose not to go, and sometimes they're dazed and confused, but it's up to them to go into God's light, whether there's somebody that came down to take them or whatever. Sometimes they do. Sometimes there's a death angel that shows up and they'll take them. But that actually happens, and there are orbs and spirit orbs, but you have to differentiate from, you know, pollen or humidity or dust and all that crap, but orbs are pretty clear.
A lot of times there are, you know, you have to be very discerning, and a lot of times, you know, when you see something, you could be raindrops, you know, or like you said, dust or bugs and things that are very similar to orbs. I've been very fortunate myself. I'm probably one of the, you know, very minority of being able, not only, you know, being able to be clairvoyant and clairaudient and clairsentient and so on, but I'm able to see them in physicality. So I've seen them in different colors, and, you know, to me, the different colors signify the consciousness, the level of consciousness particular spirit has come through. And my first level in my own home, I asked for my mom to come through, and sure enough, she sure did, in full orb form, and her face was right in that orb. So it's amazing how, you know, when you speak to your loved ones, you're just a thought away, or speaking, you know, outwardly, loudly, that, you know, they can come forth. I asked my mother to come through and say, "Hey, Mom, come through in orb form, would you?" And I took a picture, and sure enough, her face was right inside that orb. So you are absolutely correct.
That was my question. It was, because there's going to be people out there that say that there's no such thing as orbs, it's dust, and like you were saying with pollen and stuff like that. How is somebody in your experience able to differentiate, you know, what's dust or bugs and stuff like that? Because I've taken pictures in my apartment, and it's been, you know, the frame has been completely filled with what would be considered orbs, but I'm sure it's dust. Is there anything somebody could learn that would help them discern between natural occurring things and spirit orbs?
Yeah. Spirit orbs, you look for, spirit orbs fly on their own, and they twist and turn and move up and down, and they can pulse. So when you see that course of action, that's totally different than dust or pollen. I've taken shots outdoors on a few investigations, and I know it's pollen because they're like solid balls that don't illuminate. Typically, an orb will illuminate, and sometimes, you know, you'll figure it out as soon as you take a photograph of an orb that has a face in it. And you can blow it up. A lot of people don't use computers to look at their stuff. I do. Always have. And I use one of the top computers you can get, Alienware. And it has a lot of memory, good graphics card and everything. And I blow them way the heck up. And I can filter it and everything else. I look at them pretty hard before I put them up. I don't get much guff these days. And I got quite a few people that look at my stuff. And yeah, I've been around. I know what I'm looking at. And, you know, like I said, what convinced me was, you know, I had a lot of people that barked at me because, oh, that's dust, that's crap, this is bullshit. Well, excuse me. but when I show a face in it, that's obvious. And I've seen...
Well, can I interject also, too? Oh my gosh! can I say this also too? What I have observed too, Paul, is that also when you look at these, they have patterns in them. A lot of times when you enlarge it, you'll see a pattern, like a just unusual pattern. And usually, to me, when they're bugs or dust or, you know, something flying in the air, they won't have a pattern. Usually, they're a little. They're like, oh, I don't know what you call that geometric or spiral or all these different patterns that are just unusual. And that, to me, that's another orb. They just haven't showed their face.
Yeah, well, it's possible. Every case is different. Every investigation is different. And, you know, there's even colors, but that's light refraction or the different types of light being filtered through the orb itself. That's about all I can say about that. I've seen some weird things. I've seen horses in some pictures I've looked at. And I've seen cattle, stuff like that. I've seen animals, all kinds of crazy stuff. But it's very interesting. But I've had a good look at it, and I've got probably 1,000 good photographs that I can show that I can circulate. And I still remain available for people to ask questions. But you know, I'm gonna back away. I know people that can help them, but they reach out for help, but they won't even help themselves first. They don't know. I tell them, you know, to get rid of spirits, you know, if they're giving them a problem, to sage the house. And they can use, you know, white sage, sage it once a week, sage it twice a week. But it's up to them to do that, to get those spirits out. And they can use Palo Santo wood. That's what, you know, where the oil comes from. There's different types of sage. You can use incense, you can use copal, anything that works. You know, Mexicans use copal. And so at any rate, that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Paul, it's been a while since you've been on the show, and I wanted to kind of get into what you've been up to since you've been on last. Have you been on any interesting investigations or anything interesting happened?
Well, last one was Waverly Hills Sanatorium, and you know, I've got some incredible evidence out of there, and I sat at the death tunnel, and all the investigators walked down. There was about 5 of them, and they were chatting all the way down. It's kind of steep and it's long, so once they got down there, I was sitting there with my night shot video camera. It's 1080p. And I was shooting into the tunnel, and what happened was I was listening pretty closely, and it's like an echo chamber there. It's like a cement tunnel, and everything echoes off the walls. So I heard somebody talking, and I'm like, there's nobody around here. It's dead quiet, but I hear somebody talking. So I said that, and all of a sudden, what I heard was those investigators went down the tunnel, and I'm like, I was kind of, you know, perplexed. And then all of a sudden I heard my name being called and they said, Paul, you know, 2 or 3 times. And I caught it on my camera, and I was pretty excited. It said, Paul, the Mega Man. So that's what they said.
Huh?
Yeah.
Did you get
yeah.
it on the voice box? Did you get it on any type of spirit box?
I hardly use a voice box because they may know what it is. You know, they're not going to extend themselves to it. They don't want you to know where they're at. But you know, while I was there, you know, I'm walking down the hallways and there's ghosts watching me. And some of them are just solid looking and you can't even see through them. And they kind of look, one of them looked like an investigator, but when you look at it real close, it's just a chubby guy that's standing there. I mean, it's pretty clear. And there's others all high up around, you know, all the way around. And it's so densely populated with ghosts that my photographs even show that I had 4 or 5 investigators in back of me, and there was so much spirit energy around us, it actually changed their faces, and they're only like 3 or 4 feet away from me. I took a shot, and it was like a big dark cloud all over them. And that just told me one thing, that there was a lot of spirits. And so at any rate, basically, you know, that does happen. And but, you know, they're all around me at any time. And, you know, it's through my own choosing that I'm going to back off, you know, a bit. I may still do it, and I may not. It's through my own choosing. But I will continue talking with my friend, the exorcism priest, and working with him in his cases if he needs me. And so that's about it.
So, Paul, we do have a caller. Do you want to take – they might have a question for you. Do you want mind if we take a caller?
Are you hearing something weird, like if you don't mind me interrupting, but do you hear like something like a short wave?
Yeah.
Like, are you hearing something? I am on my end. What about you guys?
Yeah, I'm hearing it too. I don't know who it's coming from. But we just put a caller on. Caller, you're live on Paranormal Horizons. How are you?
Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Hi,
good
where
evening.
Are you calling from?
I'm calling from Palmer, Alaska.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you. Thank you for calling. And you have any questions?
Yeah, absolutely. So, like you know, up here right now, it's warm outside at you know, 12, I think it's 12 degrees, which is actually warm. Cold, but warm. Sometimes it can be a whole lot colder than that. But even so, I have, like, these outdoor video cameras that go all around so I can see outside, because we don't have our windows open, and we, you know, put insulation on the windows, and you can't see outside, but we use the video, like security cameras. You follow me? And, like, I see different things, almost like they're, like, bugs flying, and they change different directions, but it's, like, you know, 12 degrees right now out there, and I know it's not bugs. I've often noticed these a lot, so I'm guessing that it's probably just like dust or maybe a rogue a snowflake or something like that. But I know, like even when it's not this cold, when it's like in the 30s come summertime, and I've always said the nicest winter I ever spent was a summer in Alaska. There was like. And this was really evident, and it was like plain as day, but it was can there ever be like a pair of orbs? Cause it was too big, almost like hairy, and they were both together, and they kind of moved both together at the same time. And then when I went back, cause I have a hard drive that goes to my video that does record. When I went back, unfortunately, I was already at my max, and I was like, oh, no, because I could have, like, captured this on the video because I wanted to, you know, to see this, and I've never seen them, but can they come in pairs, like these are the biggest ones I've ever seen, too. I mean, like, right now I'm looking at my video camera, and I can see things that almost look like bugs, different sizes,
yeah.
Going different directions. But
I have seen them myself in my naked eyes, yes. But let Paul answer that question.
And there's the orbs, because it's night vision and the cameras have those red, like, balls around it for night vision. Is that, like, something that could attract them to that? Or is, you know, just film? Yeah, I'll be quiet now. Listen.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe those lights will attract them. But what you got going on, you know, throughout my experience, and I've used infrared light. I have a powerful infrared flashlight that I use. And at any rate, what I want to tell you is when spirits die, when animals die, their aura separates from the body, and what you see is different size orbs, and when they're completely closed up, you'll look like, it looks like a brine shrimp flying around. They're etherical. You can't really touch them, but you can sense them. They can manifest. They can become larger.
What's that noise? You hear that noise?
Yeah, there's a lot of weird noise.
Yeah, that's not me. If you still have me on the speaker, I don't know. It's
Paul,
I've got
is that
my
you,
phone
Paul?
Right here in my...
I hear it, but it's not me.
Maybe it's spirits.
Well, if you mute yourselves and listen, it might work.
Huh, it's weird. It's like, I don't know. It sounds like somebody's doing something in the background.
Mm-hmm. Like somebody's trying to talk, or it's like an interference. Yes. Can you hear that, Paul?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just a bad connection.
Yeah. At any rate,
I muted myself, and I'm muting right now because I can hear you guys talking. But, these were they were kind of like, they weren't really like shrimp shaped, but they were more like almost like they weren't perfectly round. It was almost like an egg shaped, but they had like that fuzzy hairiness about them. You know, it was almost like, you know, it's hard to describe. Almost like something from the ocean. You know, really unusual. But they were bigger than anything else I've ever seen.
Have you heard of stuff like that, Paul?
Well, what I do is when I find stuff like that, you have to get out there and use a just take a regular point-and-shoot camera and get out there and start taking some pictures and enlarge them and take a good solid look. That's the only thing you could do. But there are spirits out there and... you know, in Alaska, a lot of animal spirits, and typically, you know, a spirit, you know, is in its collapsed state, kind of hovers, and it looks like a brine shrimp with legs on it. They can manifest to look like they can fully manifest to a ghost, and then they can collapse just as quick and close up. They can show themselves, they can show their face, they can manifest, they can open up to any size.
Okay, and they can come in pairs, like pairs or even multiples or more,
yeah.
Like even like a herd or...
Yep, there could be quite a few of them together. They travel together and they're just out having fun. And
I see.
What else is going on?
I see. Yeah, I know. I know. Like some people do video orbs. They see more than one orb. So yeah, of course it's possible. It was really strange to see two together like that. So, and it was the biggest ones I've ever seen. It was just really odd. Yeah. Well, I appreciate your answer. Thank you so much, Paul.
Okay.
Thanks,
thank you.
Thanks for calling in.
Take care.
Thank you.
Take care.
Merry thank
Christmas.
You. Jason, was that Tim?
That was Tim, yes.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've seen a lot of orbs. I remember when I was doing investigations, I had seen some. It was in a really haunted hotel, and I had the infrared cameras going, and I would get these things streaking across the screen that would change directions, and it was just really, really eerie and strange. And I always wondered if they were spirits, but... as everybody knows, I'm kind of skeptical about the whole thing, so I always think there's an explanation, but maybe it wasn't. So I've seen, you know, with weird things as well on camera.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have some skepticism, but, you know, it's also a good thing to be pessimistic in the fact that it's possible. I have proven without a shadow of a doubt with my photographs that I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm talking about. And whether people choose to believe it or not, that's up to them. And whether they're Christian or not, I'm a Christian. But a lot of Christians will come out and bark at me and stuff like that. They just don't want anybody poking around in that field. But at any rate, I'm successful at what I did. And, you know, and, as I said, I'm choosing to take a step back from it and do other things and have fun with my life. But it's a good field to be involved in. You just have to take the precautions with the Palo Santo oil and to keep spirits off you.
What do you think about the ghost shows? Because they're so popular, and now it seems like everybody's becoming a paranormal investigator. I know that I went out with a group one time, and they didn't know anything. Like, their client, this homeowner, was asking them questions, and they didn't even know the answers to it. And I was just left there shaking my head. It seems like a lot of people, you know, they watch the TV show, they go buy some equipment, and the next thing you know, they're expert paranormal investigators. I mean, if somebody wants to break into the field, what's the best way, would you say, to do it? Because, I mean, it sounds from your experience that you have, you know, there's dangers associated with it because you feel like you've had some dealings with some demons and stuff like that. But for people out there that want to break into the field, what's your suggestion?
Well, first off, they should be very careful. They should learn how to protect themselves right away. And then that might be on YouTube, or they can look it up online. Secondly, if they're a novice, you know, I have a couple ghost hunting groups that I've worked with most of my career, and they're good ones. And San Antonio Ghost Hunters is one of them. Did a lot of cases with them, all different types. And also, there's another one that I work with that's up in Dallas. And the person I worked with up there, she would have ghost hunts from, you know, up and all the way through the state of Texas and even trips, you know, and I'd either go or I wouldn't. But I used to go on a lot of them. And I would say find a good experienced ghost hunting group. As you said, there's a lot out there that don't have a clue of what they're doing. They approach people, they get called by people for help, and they set up their cameras, they have fun doing that, deep into it. They go home and review it. Yeah, they'll see some orbs, but they leave the people high and dry, and they don't teach them what to do. But, you know, using sage, of course, is something they can do. It's available on Amazon. And the Palo Santo oil, of course, is on Amazon. And they should, you know, use the shell and a feather and, you know, sage the house two or three times and be faithful to that just to get rid of them. And if that doesn't happen, they can go to, you know, if they're Catholic, they can go to the Archbishop or the Archdiocese in their town and start up there at the top and ask them for spiritual help. And, you know, they can involve a priest. And there's priests that do minor rites of exorcism. So that's you want help. You know, you want immediate help. They'll help you. You can visit them. You want hope. And because this is a lonely place. But as far as ghost hunters again, like I said, get with a good group, try it out. I know a lot of them that have. They enjoy it, and they still, you know, they like the ghost hunt, but maybe that person that wants to join, and, you know, it's up to them to spend the money. A lot of people don't. They'll use their cell phones, and they'll have a few experiences, and maybe they'll quit. But, you know, I was deep into it. I have some equipment. But I'm a medium, and the equipment is no longer, you know, I have a few cameras that I use, and that's what I walk around with. Other than that, I don't use ghost boxes. I rarely do. I've used them. I've had great success with them. I know what they do, but, you know, I use pendulums and stuff like that when I started. I was serious about it, and, you know, I've had my experiences with it. So, but there is a lot to learn about it. And as far as TV, well, all I can tell you about TV, it's a money-making operation. And TV has shut down the paranormal back in 2013 because I was working for My Ghost Hunters, caught on camera. And I did a couple segments, and I had a third one in queue, and they all of a sudden stopped. And they were doing investigations all the way across the United States. It was a tremendous show, and they spent the money. And after that 2013 filming, they stopped dead in the tracks. They moved over to celebrity haunting and that woman Kim Russo, and that's all they did. Because I think the church actually came to them and said, "What are you doing?" You know, there is some censorship going on. The only ones they couldn't stop was, Ghost Adventures and Ghost Hunters, and eventually the interest has waned. And I see that reflected in my Facebook page. I used to put up a picture and I'd get 1,000 hits off of it, people that viewed it. You know, nowadays I get 200 or 300 or 400 or 500. And but I used to get a lot more response. But it's a little dwindling. There's still people out there interested in it. You hardly see them talking anymore. A lot of it's dried up. But that didn't stop me, but I'm choosing on my own for what I'm going to do. But at any rate, I have a director that filmed me at one location. I got some amazing photographs there, probably, I don't know, 20 or 30 ghosts that I captured. Some full body, amazing shots that, I could frame them. They're that clear. And very interesting, but I've had my full experience with the paranormal. At any rate,
well, it looks like we're just about out of time now. If anybody, it sounds like you're kind of backing out of the paranormal a little bit. Do you have a place you can direct people if they want to contact you, or you were talking about a book earlier? When that comes out.
Yeah, I'll be writing the book. It'll be by me, and it'll be called Demon. And it's going to have my, experiences in full. And it's going to lead up to spirits, demons. I've had about 3 or 4 different encounters with demons, and I'll be able to explain it. And I'm going to do that just so people have a full understanding what they are. And it's going to be a good book. And I'm going to spend the money on it, and it's going to come out. And I hopefully that maybe it might be the last book, but I might write another one on the full experience, again. But I don't want to, I want to make sure that the one I write is, so I may just write the one, see where it goes. But at any rate, they can contact me on Facebook. I am going to step back a bit, but I'm still involved in it. And I got quite a few people following me. And so I'm going to keep that entertained with my past photographs and some that I haven't even worked on yet. So Facebook, it's at Central Texas Paranormal on Facebook.
Awesome. Well, we got to wrap it up. Hey, Paul, I want to thank you so much for spending the time coming on the show tonight, and hope you get completely over that flu you got going on.
Right. Well, all I can say to you is I appreciate every time I come on, and I hope, in the future, maybe I'll be able to come on again. And after that, I hope you all have a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, and look forward to seeing you again.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to get you back on.
A pleasure to have you back, Paul. It's been wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you for spending Christmas Eve with us and entertaining our guests. We appreciate you.
Right. Thank you very much.
Take care. Love
Have
you, Paul.
Night.
You're a blessing, and hope take care of yourself and get rid of that bug that you got, Gil, going in your system.
Yeah, well, I didn't have a fever today, so I feel better now. But I just got out of the emergency room last night, 3 o'clock in the morning, so. But I've been good since, so, you know, that's a good thing. Tomorrow should be a good day for me, and, you know, I thank God for that.
Yeah,
but at any rate,
definitely, and just take care of yourself.
Take care of yourselves and get your flu shots. I already did, so I got this somehow. It's not the flu, they said. But I'm all right. Been checked out. And thank you again.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks, Paul.
Hang in there, Paul. We'll see you, and God bless.
Yep.
All right.
All right.
It's been a while. We haven't had him in. It's great to have him back, but, you know, not great to hear him being so sick, but hopefully he'll be better.
Yeah, hope he gets healed up there. No, it's no fun. It's been a long time since I've been that sick. About 3 or 4 years ago, I had a fever of 103. I haven't been sick since. I have, like, PTSD from getting that sick again. It's so terrible.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, there's a lot of bugs going on, and, you know, try and limit your exposure to people. And, you know, like I was saying, I think I told a couple of my close friends, that's the first thing in a way, and it's not a bantering thing, but hey folks, you know, nothing to say, but if you are sick, please stay home, because, you know, it's just bad when you're really contagious, and, you know, it's hard when, you know, sometimes it's airborne, like in the airplane, you can't help it when the air is circulating, but when you're coughing and hacking and you're having a fever and things, it's probably the best to stay home so people don't get sick.
There's a lot of pathogens out there. I work in a medical laboratory, and we see, I mean, just everything you can imagine. And, I mean, I've seen, like, mad cow disease come through, but we get lots of, you know, swabs, and there's just so much nastiness out there. It makes me feel like the world is, or the, you know, the biological world, the microscopic world is out trying to kill us. It's really scary.
I hope not. Oh, well,
anyway.
You know, we can just hopefully be just take care of ourselves and just kind of be discerning in who we hang out with. So, you know, it's a germy world, but we can always love people, if not from very close to afar anyway. But we want to wish everybody, each and every one of you, a very merry, merry Christmas. And next week we're going to return with our next guest, David Haben. He's had 40 years experience as a paramedic. He's been on our show probably about 4 months ago. I'm going to have him back because we're going to talk about his pride and joy, cemetery symbology. So he's going to talk about the symbolism in the cemeteries, the headstones, and what different faiths are. So that's going to be very, very interesting. David Haben has been at least 40 years as a paramedic, and his favorite pastime for been a while, I don't know how many years, but he actually studies, researches, and he's a tour for cemetery symbolism. So we're going to have him next in New Year's Eve on Paranormal Horizons.
Cool. That's going to be a completely new subject for us, which is going to be very exciting and interesting. But unless you have anything else, we're a little bit over time. Do you have anything else, Sherry?
No, I don't. We just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Stay safe. Be warm and, you know, just be happy if you can.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank everybody for listening tonight, and catch us next week where we talk about the cemetery headstone symbology, 8 p.m. right here on Block Talk Radio. I want to thank our affiliate stations. We rebroadcast this show on Thursdays. It's 106.5 KITC FM and 107.3 KNCP. And with that, we'll bid everybody adieu. Have a great Christmas, and we'll see everybody next Sunday. Good night, everyone.
Take care, everybody. Peace.